Stampede Blue. What we talking about? Indianapolis, AFC South. Stampede Blue, let's air it out. Fly route, let's air it out. Topics, loaded like offense. Colt-centric, talking about it often. Stampede Blue, let's air it out. Fly route, let's air it out. Do it big, like lines for an offense. Colt-centric, don't take offense. Back in the day, Colts versus Dolphins. Nowadays, it's Jazz playing Martin South.
Welcome back to another Stampede Blue Colts cast, ladies and gentlemen. I'm your host, Matt Dainley. As always, we are sponsored by Mike Earnest at the Indy Home Pros team. Make sure if you guys have any home needs, whether you're buying or selling or looking for a guy reputable to get you guys in the market for a new home, make sure you're getting a hold of Mike Earnest and his Indy Home Pros team. You can catch him at 317-285-9691 or hit him at CircleCityForSale.com. Tonight, guys, we've got a really interesting show on tap for you. We're here with Jordan Reed, Jordan of Inside the Pylon and many other places. Excellent work here. Covers the draft pretty extensively. Jordan, thank you for hopping on with us tonight, man.
No problem. Thanks for having me. Looking forward to it.
Absolutely. So a lot of what Colts fans are wanting to hear right now is what about, because, I mean, we're hungry, right? We're hungry for more bodies, for more quality bodies on this roster, more quality youth. Get this secondary kind of strapped up a little bit after last year. Had some dead last performances in a couple different areas. I think yards per attempt in pass or yards per catch and a couple others that just were just awful to look at. But the Colts had some positives out of all of this. Nate Hairston played a lot better than what anybody really projected he would play. Pierre Desir came in after Vontae Davis was released. Quincy Wilson, when they did have him active, was playing pretty well. So the Colts fans feel like they've got a pretty good group so far. But three of these guys in particular entering the supplemental draft here, Jordan, and Sam Beal, Adonis Alexander and Brandon Bryant are all set to enter the supplemental draft. And these guys, I mean, have various areas of intrigue, I think, through the teams. We saw that Sam Beal was basically getting the full whole red carpet treatment today with all 32 teams at his pro day. Brandon Bryant had about half of the league or so. And I think Adonis Alexander was a little bit even less than that. Do you think that's fairly representative of how intriguing these guys are to actually get some, you know, get a quality roster spot at the next level?
Yeah, absolutely. And this is something we really haven't seen since 2015 when Isaiah Battle got drafted by the then St. Louis Rams in the 2015 supplemental draft. And every year since, the supplemental draft has really just been another day on the calendar that NFL teams really haven't paid attention to. So this is the first year in a while where a lot of teams are really intrigued with the prospects that are in the supplemental draft. And the clear headliner of the bunch is Sam Beal from Western Michigan, as you alluded to earlier, that all 32 teams were at his pro day today. And he had a fairly good day.
Mm-hmm.
He measured in at 6 foot, right around 180 pounds, and ran a 4.40 in the 40-yard dash. So he has those measurables that you look for. His weight was a little bit lesser than what a lot of teams thought. I think he was listed around 195 pounds, so the 178 number was a little bit low, but he does have the frame to where he can put on some weight. So I think Bill is a guy that could be a huge candidate for the Colts, especially now that they have that extra second rounder, and I'm not sure if they'll go as high of a pick as a second rounder, but definitely a third or a fourth. So Bill is definitely a guy to keep an eye on.
Okay, Brandon Bryant also a guy that a lot of people are pretty hype about. Now, he would probably be the next tier down, I guess. And where, I mean, do you think that his intrigue lies? Are people, like, legitimately thinking this guy could come in and be, like, another draft pick? Or are they thinking that this guy might need a little bit of work?
He probably needs a little bit of work because he is a bit stiff. And he's a liability in coverage. That's the biggest thing about him or that surrounds him. He's more of your box safety, strong safety that likes to come downhill and feel and run support. But as far as a cover guy, that's really where he is lacking. But there is some intrigue with him. There was around 14 or 15 teams at his pro day. And if you go back and watch the film from his freshman year, he really came on strong. But after that point, his play really slipped. But come to find out that he did have a casualty in his family. His father did pass away, and that was one of the biggest reasons why his play did slip, and he thought about giving up the sport, actually. So it's good to see him bounce back on his feet, and he seems like he's found his love for the game again, but there is a lot of intrigue with him. Probably teams will be willing to spend maybe a sixth or a seventh round pick on him in the supplemental draft, so there definitely is some interest there in Bryant.
Mm-hmm. Now, with the supplemental draft, I think that most people probably know or at least have an inkling of what the kind of the process is here. If a team is to this is almost like you know, being the waiver wire. These guys are basically free agents, you know, just being released. I mean, in a, for a lack of better terms, I guess. And then each team bids on them in whatever round that they feel that this guy's worth. If they're basically the highest bidder, they get the guy, but they also have to give up the ensuing draft pick for the following year. So that's kind of how this process goes. You said a sixth or a seventh rounder in here. I guess my own outlook on it is that teams will probably bid a round later than what they kind of have him gauged at currently.
Yeah, that's usually how it goes, especially teams that have these extra picks, or if they're a team that just needs bodies and they need talent like the Colts do in their secondary. Now, I'm not necessarily saying the Colts' secondary is extremely poor. They do have some building blocks in Malik Hooker, who's coming back from injury, who showed plenty of flashes when he was healthy. I think Quincy Wilson can be a very productive player for them, but he just had a weird season last year with him being inactive for multiple games. But I think he'll be able to bounce back this year in their new defensive scheme. So they still need to add some more depth and some more bodies on the back end of that defense, though. So it would surprise me if they do put a bid in on multiple of these guys.
That'd be interesting. Now, that's something I haven't really heard or even, really, to be quite honest, thought about. But let's hit up Adonis Alexander real quick too. What does he bring? I mean, because he, to be fair, I think that Beal and Bryant were both considered academic issues, correct?
Yes.
And then
correct.
Alexander's got a little bit more in his past, a little more dirty laundry, so to speak. So I mean, does his talent basically exceed anything off the field that he has caused or on the field? Because I if I'm not mistaken, he's had some issues with coaches. He's had some other issues off the field. I think a drug possession, yeah, or something, you know. I mean, I don't know of any like violent anythings in his past, but he is obviously of the three big ones, he's kind of the guy who has a little bit more baggage to him. Is he somebody who's probably possibly going to go undrafted in this, or do you expect him to possibly get some nods too?
I think he'll definitely get some nods, because prior to last season, there was some arguments that he could be a first-round prospect if he was able to clean up some personal stuff that he did have going on off the field. Now, there was some academic issues as far as him and his grades slipping after he had a really good freshman year. He really slacked off, and that resulted in him not being able to or being ruled academically ineligible. To this point, he had some marijuana issues going on. He had a marijuana arrest, actually, and that's just a long laundry list of red flags that he did have in his time at Virginia Tech, including some issues with coaches as well that a lot of outside sources have reported as well. But there is some intrigue with him. There was up to 30 teams at his pro day when he did have it at Virginia Tech. He's a much bigger guy than these other two. He's around 6'3", 200 pounds, but he did run a bit slower than what people thought he did. What he would test at, he ran right at 4.6. And me personally, I think he's more of a safety as opposed to a corner. Now, if you do leave him at corner, he's not very scheme versatile because he's not very fast. So he's more of a guy that's better in a cover two or a cover three scheme like the Seattle Seahawks run. And I'm not comparing him to Richard Sherman, but he's definitely in that same type of mold, a guy that's bigger and not quite as fast. But in their scheme, Sherman didn't really have to rely on his speed as much like a man-to-man corner would have, and that's the type of corner that Sam Beal is. So him and Alexander are really complete opposites as far as a scheme standpoint, but I think teams will be really intrigued by Alexander depending on how much they value his character and if he can clean up those red flags.
That's interesting enough. My memory must be not serving me right, because I didn't think that Alexander had that much of a showing from NFL teams, but it sounds like I missed that part of it. Now, that kind of gets me to the next part of our conversation here about kind of what would fit with the Colts best. Now, coming in, the Colts are changing some scheme. They're going from a predominantly man defense on the outside with their boundary corners to, you know, more of a zone look in this Tampa 2 cover 2 scheme that Matt Eberflus is bringing in from his days from Dallas. So this is, like you said, Beal is more of a man guy. Adonis Alexander is more of a cover 2 guy or a zone guy. would Beal be able to kind of fall into that role? Is that something that he is more than capable of? He just isn't built that way currently because of like a college scheme, or is that just simply where his strengths really lie?
Yeah, and that's something that's very intriguing about Beal, because he is scheme versatile. I think he's a guy that can play in any type of scheme because he showed at Western Michigan that he has the versatility to play in any type of scheme. They played press man, and they also played zone. So, And he's that guy that's that long, lanky corner that these teams are salivating over now as well. So, And he can run. That's the advantage that he does have over Adonis Alexander. You always want a guy that can test in that 4-4 to low 4-5 range. And I'm really intrigued by Beal, and I sent out a tweet earlier. I think the Colts are definitely a team that should be very high on Beal, because I think he fits their scheme perfectly. Now, he does have some flaws with him that he needs to clean up as far as his technique and getting his head around and making plays on the ball when the ball is in the air. But those are things that you trust that your coaches can improve on once he gets in the building, if they do win the bid for him. So if I'm Chris Ballard, I'm probably putting in a third-round claim for him. Hmm. And it wouldn't surprise me at all if they do go high and use that extra second-round pick as well.
That's interesting, because I think that that's what a lot of people are kind of giving. Okay, the Colts have 2 seconds. Use that third. You know, then work on whatever you got to do to move some picks around and stuff later on. This is kind of what it boils down to with Chris Ballard and his line of how he goes about his process. And I mean, from what you've seen of Ballard and his, you know, he has no problem going out and getting players. He has no problem switching around the roster a little bit. Is this something you think that is definitely in his repertoire, that he's like thinking considerably about this? Or is this something that you think maybe it's too early in the rebuild process for the Colts to really go after this and use a draft pick when so much can change between now and then? I think that people see it internally as risky, but at the same time, the Colts do need bodies, and if he's the most talented of the group and you can get him for a third round pick, that's kind of a steal at this point, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. And he probably would have went in the top 50 if he was in this prior draft this past year. So I think if you're able to get him for second or even a third round pick, I think it would be a steal. And the good thing about getting him now is that you can get him in the building, you can develop him and get him in Matt Eberflus' system for a year. You can go ahead and pair him with Quincy Wilson, and he can develop that chemistry with Wilson and Malik Hooker. Mm-hmm. And your secondary can basically be set over the long haul. And now you can focus on rebuilding that front seven. And they already put a lot of emphasis in rebuilding that linebacker core and getting edge rushers like a Kamoko Ture and even a guy like Tyquan Lewis. And I love the pick of Darius Leonard as well. So he's picking and choosing exactly where he wants to rebuild this team. And it seems like he wants to do it from the inside out. And if you go ahead and lock up that secondary, I think you can put more emphasis on rebuilding that interior. And just giving you a look ahead, we already know that this defensive line class coming up is extremely stacked. So let's say you get Bill in the building and you get him with Quincy Wilson and you got Malik Hooker on the back end, and now you can just add a plethora of defensive line talent to what they already have.
Mm. And see that, I mean, Colts fans, I think, are fairly cognizant that they understand that this was going to be a bit of a process. This was going to be a couple years. But I think that everybody's really intrigued and really kind of excited about what Chris Ballard has done. Like I said, his ability to turn over the roster with no problem. It seems like a lot of what he's doing is working. He brought in a lot of like depth talent last season towards the end, middle of the end of the season. And we've seen those guys kind of stick on the roster for the most part. Guys like DJ White, not that he's a starter caliber, but he's a good backup guy. He's a good guy for depth that Ballard is very familiar with, and he knows what he brings to the table. You know, some guys like Ross Travis, the big tight end, that's going to help the Colts this year, because that creates a ton of competition in that regard, with, you know, not only Ebron and Doyle kind of being solidified as the ones and twos there, but Swope and some of the other guys there battling for a tight end spot. So I think that by and large, Colts fans are really excited about what Chris Ballard has done and what he's doing. And I think that this, while most, including myself for that matter, I think it is a little bit risky. But if you think that this guy is a top 50 pick in this draft, this to me kind of is a no-brainer for the Colts right here. And when you say that, you telling me where you had him or would have had him in this draft makes me feel that they may go with that second round pick that they've got, instead of waiting till the third, you know, could make you lose this guy. But Ballard's not a panicking guy. As I'm kind of working through this as we talk right now, because there's so many things on one side of the argument for Ballard going and getting him, but then there's just as many on the other side of the argument telling me that, you know, this isn't going to happen. He's not going to jump at any of these guys.
Yeah, and I'm a big believer in Chris Ballard. I love what he's building. I love what the Colts did as far as trading back and getting those extra picks, trading back 2-6, and setting the tone with getting a guy like a Quentin Nelson and coming back in the second round and getting a guy like Braden Smith. So it's not only just defensively how he's building this team. I love the way he's done offensively as well, and I think he hit a home run with this draft. And just getting a guy like Sam Beal, I think, would just be the icing on the cake. You add him, and then you just continue to build that up with that young secondary and just continue to build up this young core that they already do have in place. I just think he's building this thing up the right way. Now, I still think they're probably a year or two away from really being competitive like they want to be. But I think with a couple more draft classes, I think this team can be really good.
Absolutely. And I think a lot of people think that. I think that they get lost in the mix because there were so many things that went wrong last year. Wilson wasn't active very often. You know, Hooker got injured. It just was. And then, you know, kind of some of the results just kind of turned people off of it. But they forget how much positive was shown in the secondary last year, you know, with Hooker getting three interceptions and basically playing half the season, you know, just some other things. Wilson being very active, being a solid tackler, and, you know, getting his hands in the right areas. Even in preseason, he got beat for a few big plays, I think, against the Lions, but he had his hands in the mix the entire time. It was good defense, and that's what you like to see. You know, not so much the result, even though the result is important, but you still got to see these guys in the right place at the right time. And that's ultimately when you're scouting, what you're scouting is where they end up, how they've done, how is their process. You don't necessarily look at the success rate quite as much, maybe, I guess you could say. If he's in the right spot and he gets a hand on the ball, that's still good. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
The guy still makes a phenomenal catch. What, you know, what can you do? You know, that at the same time, everybody wants to see numbers.
Absolutely. And a lot of fans don't realize that outside of quarterback, cornerback is probably the second hardest position for rookies to transition into the NFL, because there's just so much you have to learn and so much you have to adjust to. Not even just a scheme standpoint and what coverages they're running, but you have to learn new techniques. And then you have some of the best athletes in the world across from you in these world-class receivers week in and week out, especially in the division that they're in, the Colts are in. There's some really good receivers in that division. So especially, I mean, just how difficult it is to play that position. And I think Quincy Wilson is going to have a big year next year. He's a guy I really liked pre-draft, and I think they got a steal in the second round by getting him. I was really surprised that he did slip to the second round, but that's really a great thing for Chris Ballard, and he snatched him up, and it's really good to see that.
Absolutely. Guys, we're going to get on with Adonis Alexander, a little bit more about him, and Brandon Bryant right after this. Let me tell you guys about my guy Mike Ernest. You guys have heard about him before. He's recently moved his business over to RE/MAX Advanced Realty and the Indy Home Pros team. Part of the number one selling real estate team in Indiana. If you're thinking about buying or selling your home, you need to call Mike Ernest at the Indy Home Pros team. Mike and his team of real estate professionals are experts in the greater Indianapolis real estate market, and they have marketing and social media tools to sell your home, or using the combined experience of his entire team to find the right home for you. You can rest assured knowing that no one knows the ins and outs of buying and selling homes in the Indianapolis area better than Mike Ernest. Listen, when you need to buy or sell your home, you need a true pro on your side. Mike Ernest is that guy. He's received numerous industry awards for being a leader in the Indianapolis real estate market. So when it comes to buying or selling your home, don't get burned by amateurs. Contact Mike Ernest. Whether you live in Indy or any of the surrounding communities, Mike Ernest and the Indy Home Pros team can help. Put the number one real estate team in Indiana on your side by calling Mike Ernest at 317-285-9691 or find him online at CircleCityForSale.com. Again, 317-285-9691 or CircleCityForSale.com. All right, guys, let's get back into it here with Jordan Reed. Jordan, we need to talk a little bit more about the other guys in here as well. Sam Beal's getting the pub, and deservedly so, but we need to talk a little bit more about Bryant and Alexander. Alexander, with his issues in the past, some of the things that a lot of Colts fans continue to put out there is this the guy, is this kind of Indy's Marcus Peters, so to speak? Because a lot of people want Ballard to go out and get Alexander, with his personal issues. Chris Ballard has had, you know, some luck with that. So I think kind of people are trying to, a little hard to put the pieces together for that. But is this somebody that you would see Ballard possibly taking a flyer on? It would be a little riskier, in my opinion, on this guy, just because you don't know where he's going to be mentally throughout the process. I don't think that anybody really second guesses too much of his skills. It's just everything else that comes with him.
Yeah, and there's a lot of baggage that comes with him. And, of course, guys that have some character flaws, that always worries you, because you never know what they're going to do once they get into the NFL. Or are they going to grow up, or are they going to be that same guy that they were during the draft process? And that's the biggest thing that worries you about Adonis Alexander. But maybe him getting away from Virginia Tech and just moving on may be good for him. And that's just something we'll never know as fans. We're not in those interviews and those sit-down meetings between the teams and this prospect like Alexander, and the exact reasoning or what exactly happened when he was at Virginia Tech. So the dots do kind of connect, though, as far as what Ballard has done in the past, even with the Chiefs taking flyers on guys like even a Marcus Peters, like a lot of fans have said that he has taken a chance on in the past. A guy like Alexander would definitely be in the same boat or in the same situation. Now, his red flags aren't as bad as what Marcus Peters were coming out, but it's a very similar situation as far as a guy that has some trouble, but when he's on the field, he's a very productive player. And coincidentally, he's a guy that has a very similar playing style to Marcus Peters. Now, his ceiling is nowhere near as high as Marcus Peters' is, but you talk about a guy that's a turnover machine and just can change games in an instant. Alexander is definitely that type of player.
And he's got some interesting stats, too. It seems that he fell off a little bit, but he only played in 8 games as a junior this past year. That, I mean, 55 and 43 total tackles in his first 2 years. He's got 7 interceptions throughout the 3 years. Like you said, a turnover machine. He's definitely a guy who's in the mix a lot, and the Colts are looking for that physical guy, not only a guy who can be a solid tackler on the outside of this cover two scheme, but a guy who can also, like you said, change plays, attack the ball, create some opportunities for this defense to get some points on the board in their way, and give Andrew Luck a little bit of like legitimate help, not just the occasional stop on third down. But the Colts really need our defense to become a scoring defense. And if Adonis Alexander is that guy, and Ballard thinks he can smooth him at least into the starting rotation, apparently, you know, in the next couple years, and get him to become a realistic contributor and a guy who's a quality locker room guy, I don't see that there's, you know, any way that you can just discount him coming or possibly taking a late round flyer on him.
Yeah, and that's why I say it wouldn't shock me at all if the Colts put multiple bids on some of these guys, especially the top two in Bill and Alexander, who are the prizes of this supplemental draft class. And it wouldn't surprise me at all if they value Alexander more than Bill, because they probably think the bidding war is going to be very high for Bill. And you saw that at his pro day. I mean, the guy got the attention of all 32 teams, mm-hmm. and even some GMs were there. So there's a lot of interest in Bill. But on Alexander, some teams probably won't be willing to take that risk with him because of the red flags and the character issues with him. So maybe they feel like they can put in a higher bid than what some teams are willing to go, and maybe they can steal Alexander. And the good thing about that is, man, you're going to have two big corners on the outside, and Alexander and Quincy Wilson. That's really perfect for that cover two scheme.
Yeah, him being at 6'3", that's something that I think a lot of Colts fans, especially if he could have any speed or if he had some better playing speed possibly, you know. But, man, that is awful intriguing. But then again, I don't know that the Colts really need – I mean, like you said, that he's got the height, but he's also a really good zone corner. It kind of makes me wonder, you know, where they go from here. Is that kind of what they're wanting from these corners, to be solid zone corners, or are they really wanting these guys to be more physical? Because a lot of times those two skills just don't match up, it doesn't seem. Quincy Wilson's got the length. He was a little bit more of a man cover guy coming out of school. An Adonis Alexander type would be a really interesting complement to what the Colts are doing and what they're building for the future. Desir is one of the older cornerbacks. In fact, I think he is the oldest cornerback at like 27 on the roster right now. A lot of youngsters, a lot of people that nobody knows. Adonis Alexander, for that matter, or any of these guys, would really bring some excitement to the fan base, I think.
Yeah, but the good thing about the cover two scheme is that you really don't need guys that are really fast. You just need guys that are really physical at the line because you're just trying to slow them down. And the great thing about that is that they have Malik Hooker on the back end of the defense. So if they were to get beat off the line of scrimmage, they have that guy on the back end of the defense that can erase their mistakes because Malik Hooker is a guy that can play from sideline to sideline that's extremely rangy and just be that guy that can be the patroller on the roof of the defense. So that's the good thing. If they do have some interest in Alexander, they don't necessarily need him to be extremely fast or be able to stay hip to hip with those receivers because that's not what's asked of them in that cover two scheme. They're just asked to slow that receiver down at the line of scrimmage that allows Hooker to be that patrol safety over the top.
Do you think that he'll possibly live up while we're on it to what they talk about him when he's coming out, the comparisons that they've made to him, to Hooker?
I loved Hooker coming out. The biggest thing with Hooker was just the injuries. That was always the scariest thing about Hooker because he stayed banged up at Ohio State. He missed some games there, and then obviously he missed some games in his rookie season last year with the Colts. So if he's able to stay healthy, I think he can be one of the better safeties in the NFL because he has that Earl Thomas type of range. And, I mean, you saw it when he did get those three interceptions. You just saw him come over the top of the defense, and it's just like, man, he wasn't on the screen, and then he just imaginably appears on the screen. Like, where did he come from to get that ball?
Yeah, and he could have legitimately had a couple more last year too. There were a couple plays that he didn't get them, and he didn't really make an attempt at the ball, but he could have at least broken it up. So he's definitely a guy that people love, and they just, I think people get too literal on the comparisons, and basically what you're saying is this is a guy who plays like that. So, I mean, it's really, really interesting for people to see him in there. It's really fun for people to think of what can happen if Quincy Wilson gets to play an entire season. And, you know, I think Colts fans and I think the Colts coaches all feel pretty comfortable with the fact that Pierre Desir is there currently. The Colts apparently like a lot of what Kenny Moore and Nate Hairston are bringing. So they've got that, like you mentioned earlier, they've got that base intact right now. What they need to really do is add another piece to that, see who comes out of the mix, and then really build on that and hope that these guys can really truly develop into really quality coverage guys.
And I mean, Colts fans should be really excited about this young nucleus that they have put in place. There is some building blocks, there is some cornerstones there, like a Malik Hooker. Quentin Nelson, I think, is going to be an all-pro as soon as he steps onto the field. So they have that face of the franchise guy on both sides of the ball, and then you're getting your ultimate franchise player back in Andrew Luck, which he's probably worth 2 to 3 wins by itself just because of his talent.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think this team and this young core, I think it has a really bright future if Ballard just continues to build through the draft and pick and choose when he wants to add some free agents in certain spots.
Absolutely. So Brandon Bryant had a pretty nice little pro day as well. Now, tell us a little bit more about him.
Yeah, so like I said earlier, 14 teams were at his pro day, and he's probably the one that teams are least excited of the bunch because he's just such a liability in coverage. He does have some stiffness in his hips to him, and he's a guy that can't play on the roof of the defense. He has to play down low or in the box because he's more like an extra linebacker or strong safety as opposed to a free safety. But he did test really well. He measured at 5'11", around 210 pounds, and he did run 4.45. So those are some really good numbers for him. And he was another guy that was an academic casualty. He was ruled ineligible this year. He didn't even participate in the spring with Mississippi State, and he declared immediately for the supplemental draft. But like I said, he's not a guy that teams are really excited about as opposed to Beal and Alexander. But it wouldn't surprise me at all if the team does bid a 6th or a 7th round pick on him.
Now, is there a chance that anybody would fall in love with his measurables and what he did at his pro day? Like you said, the 4.45, 40, 34-inch vertical, 10'3" broad, 7.26 and 7.52, 3 cones, 20-yard shuttle is 4.23. Does any of that impress you?
Yeah, it does. He tested much better than I thought he would, but just because of that stiffness that he did have. Now, I did think he would run pretty fast because he shows some closing speed and some really good pursuit on film. So the 4.45 number really didn't surprise me, but how explosive he was did surprise me as far as the vertical and the other measurables and the testing that he did have. But I could see a team falling in love with him, and I mean, it only takes one team,
right?
And that's what we see in the supplemental draft, and maybe a team bids fourth or a fifth round pick on him. We'll see.
Now, aside from the Colts interests that I have and that most of our listeners have, who would be, and now you've already mentioned that you said that the Colts could be a key guy or a key team that would be putting in on multiple one of these guys. If you were to guess, who's getting the prize that you mentioned earlier, Sam Beal? Who's going to end up putting the one in too high for him or right at the money, and then people are going to kind of try and wait on that?
I had my best guess was the Colts, honestly. I'm not being a homer or anything. I had circled on my list for Sam Beal. I think they're going to be the team that's extremely interested in him. And I just think his fit a little bit better than what Alexander brings to the table. And I think he's a guy that Chris Ballard is going to love. Now, there are some other teams that probably will compete with the Colts for his services. I think the Chiefs and the Cardinals are going to be two other teams that need some corner help that are probably going to put a high bid on him as well.
Interesting. So I think Colts fans are pretty excited about this. It seems to be, especially for them, getting the number three bid because of where they actually finished the season last year. This is pretty exciting for Colts fans. I think Colts fans really would love to see a strong infusion of talent, being that the Colts did not use a draft pick on the cornerback position. You know, this could kind of be that extra cornerback, you know, that we end up getting out of the draft, so to speak. So I think that Colts fans are looking at this supplemental draft, but I think that they're hoping that the risk is worth the reward. Definitely sounds like it is with Beal. It sounds like Alexander, aside from his non-football issues, is a guy who could be, you know, somebody a lot of teams would target. So I think that it's really something that Colts fans need to probably kind of pay attention to as this date nears. It sounds like. Jordan, you feel that the Colts are prime players for some of these guys. And I think that a lot of people have kind of really been talking about that as of late. It seems that that's been a topic of conversation as well. So July 11th is the supplemental draft, folks. So it's coming up on us pretty quick. The Colts could have a new player on the roster at that time. So that would be pretty fun to do. These guys kind of excite me, and that's why I've wanted to have you on and get some information about these guys. They're just an interesting group, and like you said, this isn't something that happens every year in the supplemental draft. You know, there's been some really good players come out of it, but there's only been a handful of years. I think I looked at this the other day. There's only been a handful of years where more than one have actually been drafted. There's been three and four drafted in the past because several guys had several issues, like some really good ball players. But as of late, there hasn't been hardly any drafted at all, let alone more than one per year.
Yeah, and I believe Josh Gordon was a notable name that came out. I'm not sure the exact year. I want to say it was 2012 or something like that, where he did come out into the supplemental draft. Ahmad Brooks is another notable name was taken in the supplemental draft that a lot of people forget about.
Yeah, a big one. Brian Bosworth. I mean, lots of crazy names on there that you just didn't expect. Chris Carter.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I don't even know that I knew that until I saw that. I was like, what the hell is going on? He wasn't in the supplemental draft. But I forgot about that. He got, you know, himself into some trouble as well. So, I mean, there have been some proven talents come out of this thing, but that's basically what the supplemental draft has been built for. People who are, you know, players coming out or players who are trying to go back for another year, they either get themselves kicked off a team or they get themselves academically ineligible. And, you know, I mean, some of them are some real crazy explanations as far as why they had to be in the supplemental draft. But that's what this is for. The best talent that's available is going to apply for that, and they're going to get it. And then, you know, some team's going to take a chance on them. But I think the teams, for the most part, would expect a heavy return on investment, especially if they'd use a pick in the supplemental draft. This is something that's, like you said, not every year it happens, and there's a reason for that.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's basically like you're playing with house money, honestly. You're really going ahead and building or bidding a year in advance to get a guy in the building right away. So, and like I said, man, I really hope the Colts are able to get Sam Beal. I just think he's a perfect match for this team, and he just would be a great cherry on the top for this offseason for Chris Ballard and this draft class. You pair him with Quincy Wilson and add him to that secondary with Malik Hooker. And it wouldn't surprise me at all. I said this repeatedly. If Ballard does use that extra second-round pick on Beal, he was a consensus top 50 guy heading into last year for this upcoming draft class in 2018, prior to him deciding to go back to school. But he ended up declaring for the supplemental draft, obviously. So he probably was a guy that was already originally going to go in that second round anyway. So I would definitely bid a second round pick on Sam Beal if I was Chris Ballard.
Yeah, the Colts fans that are getting ready to have, you know, themselves some fun at training camp, you know, at Grand Park, that's going to be really cool this year. There's a lot of excitement with Andrew Luck coming back, going to be throwing at training camp. Training camp's going to be off the chain. And then you add in another piece to the secondary, and I think Colts fans are really going to actually feel that this thing's actually moving in the right direction as opposed to just moving somewhere. Which is kind of what they've been dealing with for the past several years with the past regime. So this is going to be excitement all over, and I think that Colts fans are going to be pretty happy with the return on one of these guys. It sounds like that would be a wise investment for Chris Ballard, and we, like I said, we've given multiple explanations on what he's done lately, so it should be fun, and we'll see what happens. I wouldn't be surprised either way, to be quite honest with you. If he puts one in on him, I won't be too surprised, but if he doesn't put one in on him, I won't be a bit surprised at all. Just like he's been an absolute no panic machine since he's been here. So neither one would really surprise me, but I would be happy if he was to bring in a guy like Beal. That would definitely be fun for the secondary. So
definitely. I mean, you can't win the lottery if you don't buy a ticket. So we'll see what
That's absolutely right too. And man, I just don't know. I can't figure it out. I'm honestly trying to figure. We've gone back and forth on this several times in our Slack channel. We're trying to gauge whether the Colts should or would. And man, there's good arguments for both. So I think it's definitely something that a lot of people are talking about, not just us, you know, but kind of behind the scenes as far as what we think might happen or could possibly happen. So, Jordan, you were excellent tonight, man. Thank you for giving us the skinny on these guys. The supplemental draft is right around the corner, just about a couple weeks away. So the Colts could be getting a new guy on their roster and a guy who's, as Jordan has explained, a consensus top 50 guy coming into the draft process. So that's definitely something the Colts could use. He's explained to you guys why. Jordan, thank you, man. It was a great time having you.
No problem, Matt. Thanks for having me on. It was a blast.
Absolutely. Thank you guys for listening. Make sure you guys are getting to iTunes and checking out those ratings and reviews. Hook us up with one 5-star review. And we'll be back on YouTube as soon as it starts being cooperative. Tonight was an all-audio show, first time in a while. But we'll get back to the YouTube as well. So thank you guys all for listening. We'll talk to you next time right here on the ColtsCast. Stampede Blue.